Every schoolboy knows about Christopher Columbus, the great discoverer of the Western world. But what became of him after the discovery was made and all voyages ended? What about Columbus, the man? Nothing tells us more about him than the last hours of his life. We bring you that story through the eyes of four persons who saw him that last day. The first of these is his own son, Diego. Ever since we had come to this city of Valladolid to be near the king's court, my father had been sinking. That morning I went out early to see an old friend of my father's. This man had great influence with the king, and he had been working for our cause. When I came away, I had the first good news I'd heard in months. I almost ran back to the inn to tell my father.
Diego, don't talk so fast. I can't follow you.
It's simple, Father. All our troubles are over. The king has given us an estate in Castilla.
And my titles?
This came just in time. We've only 10 pieces of silver left, and they won't give us any more credit at the market.
The titles, Diego. Am I recognized as Admiral of the Ocean Seas, Governor and Viceroy of all the Indies? Oh, I knew it. The king gives with one hand and takes away with the other. This offer of an estate is a bribe.
Father, we're in no position to...
Are you my son? You put a few acres of land before honor.
You can't fight the king. It's madness,
I've
Father.
I've kings and courtiers and enemies on land and at sea. Look at those chains on the wall. I, your father, I was fettered like a criminal before the men of my own command. By traitors jealous of what I dared to do.
It was the king who had you released. Don't forget that. You always said you kept those chains as remembrance of his kindness.
Of his promises. Am I to be treated as if I were already dead? Am I to be robbed of honor for my name?
Am I to beg in the streets in the name of my father, the Admiral of the Ocean Seas? Your life is finished. I'm young. I need a start.
You. My own son. Kings may forget. I do not.
All right, Father. Have it your way. That was the last time I talked to my father alone. I knew I'd never be able to make him take a practical view of things. I don't know what happened after I left. But I understand that Padre Jose called on my father around noon.
Yes, I did. When I came to his room, I found him propped up on the hard bed. He was writing furiously on a piece of parchment. He looked feverish and excited. I asked him what he was writing.
It is an addition to my will, Padre. Listen, a bequest to the Levantine, whose name I do not remember, but who lives near the gate of the ghetto in Lisbon. 3 pieces of silver that I once borrowed from him.
Christopher, how can anyone find a man without a name?
Look for him. And a second bequest to Geronimo del Puerto of Genoa, through his heirs, 6 pieces of silver that he lent my father and me 30 years ago.
30 years ago?
But I remember.
No court of law would hold you to those debts.
My word does.
Or your pride, Admiral of the Ocean Seas.
Other men, princes or kings, may do what they will. I'd be ashamed to have any man stand by my grave and say that I broke my word.
Well, I'm afraid I'm ashamed now.
You? What of?
A man I once knew. A man who was great, far too great to become bitter over the loss of a few words before his name. Christopher, I feel as though I don't know you at all anymore.
I don't know why.
I keep thinking of the Columbus who was my friend in the old days. Remember how you came to me when everyone laughed because you spoke of sailing west? You told me of your dreams. You felt that God was calling you to carry the cross to a new world, and I believed in you.
And I carried it. Who remembers?
God does.
But not kings.
In those days, you looked upon kings only as instruments for carrying out the will of God. You sailed, You risked your life for God. You became a follower of St. Francis when you entered his third order of poverty and humility. Can't you be content to let God reward you in his own going?
The king promised. He broke his promise.
Yes, that was unjust. Believe me, I know how it's hurt you. And I'm sorry to see it. But you've done everything possible to secure justice, and you failed. Now, you're just fighting the wind.
Isn't God on the side of justice?
Sometimes he asks sacrifice instead. Christopher, what will become of your soul if you die hating the king? And you are dying, you know that.
Dying, forgotten, and far from the sea.
I would do anything to help you be at peace.
In my will, I've left money to build a chapel in my name. Every day, mass and prayers will be offered for me. I'll rest in peace.
Christopher, you know better than that. Nothing will save you if you die with your will set against God's. One act of forgiveness is worth more in his sight than 100 chapels.
Padre, I'm tired. I think I'd feel better if I slept a little now.
When I left that room, my heart was heavy indeed. My old friend, this great man, dying in bitterness, and I can do nothing to help him. And so it seemed to me then. But he still had a little time. And something did happen later, which brought comfort to my heart.
Well, I saw Christopher Columbus about 4 o'clock that day, and what happened while I was there was a comfort to no one. He'd been living at my inn for 6 months, and I'd gone out of my way to be kind to him. That wasn't easy with him pleading the poor mouth 1 minute and the next talking about all his expectations. That day, I made up my mind I'd find out for certain how matters stood. When I went to his room, I found him looking like a corpse already. Like I always did, I asked him if there was anything I could do for him.
No, nothing.
Well, I hope you're enjoying your stay here. I'd like to fix the place up for you, but, you know, the prices workmen charge for hammering a nail these days, and on top of it, all the taxes have gone up again, so I'm going to have to ask more for all the rooms. But yours will only be 2 pieces of silver extra a month.
I can't pay it.
Oh, come now, Captain. No doubt you've heard from the king by this time about your expectations.
I've heard nothing deserving of notice.
Oh, no matter. You don't need to worry, Captain. All you've got laid away.
I have nothing. Nothing.
Captain, you don't expect me to believe that. I've heard how the gold is coming by the shipload from those islands, and you were the first one there.
I didn't go for gold. I have none now.
What? You and your talk of hobnobbing with kings and wanting everybody to call you admiral and governor.
I had hoped.
I should have known. You're like all the rest of the sailors, a bag of wind. Well, I'm not running any shelter for broken down seamen.
Stop, woman. Remember your place.
And who are you, an old man on your last legs without a cent in your pocket? Who cares about you? Who comes to see you?
Please. Please, I'm not feeling...
Well, I'll thank you to give me something on the rent right now.
I...
You don't have anything. Well, Governor and Admiral, you'd best be looking for another hole to crawl in.
Wait. Wait, there is something. My chains. They're on the wall. Take my chains.
What did I want with those?
Once I wouldn't have parted with those for a shipload of gold. Now, take them.
Well, I dare say I can sell them for junk. I had no idea how far down he was. But after all, business is business. You can't be soft-hearted and make a living. Of course, if I'd known I was going to be the last one to talk with him. But she wasn't. I was the last one Columbus really talked to. I was out playing after supper, and I saw Padre Jose coming down the street. He looked very sad. When I greeted him, he stood and looked at me a long time. I felt funny. Then Padre Jose said, Pueblo, would you like to see Christopher Columbus? My heart gave a big jump. The fellows who teach us at school told us all about Columbus. He was the greatest man in the world. Then Pedro Jose said that Columbus was staying in an inn down the street and that I should go talk to him. Well, I went to the inn, and he's in the room, and he knocked on the door. Somebody said, come in. And I went, and there he was, lying on the bed. I couldn't believe that this was Columbus. He looked very, very old.
Well, boy, who are you? Speak up, what's your name?
Pablo, sir. I live down the street.
Oh, come over here where I can see you.
Yes, sir.
Over here. Now, what do you want?
You're Christopher Columbus.
You know about me?
Yes, sir. The friars who teach me at school, they told us all about you.
How old are you, boy?
I was 12 3 months ago.
They keep boys long at their books these days. Many a lad your age I've signed on my ships as cabin boys. Have you ever been on a ship?
I've seen pictures of them, sir.
No picture can give you the feel of a ship. The stir of a deck under your feet, a fair wind in the sails, the tide running out west. West to the island.
That's where I want to go.
Never seen the like of them. Before we sighted them, we caught their scent, spice and flowers down the wind.
But isn't the sea big and dangerous, sir?
Yes, it stretches out as far as you can see and beyond. And the storms, waves higher than houses. So you want to be a sailor like me, boy, and discover new islands?
Oh, no, sir.
There's gold yonder. You'd like to bring home a shipload of gold.
No, sir.
Well, then, why would you want to go to sea?
Why, for the reason you did. To bring Christ to the people who don't know him.
That's what you want?
Yes, sir. The friars who teach me say you'll be remembered for that always. Because you opened a new world to our Savior.
Remembered? For that?
It's like going on a crusade, isn't it?
Crusade? Yes. Yes, it must have been that way.
Don't you remember?
Yes. Yes, I remember. Padre Jose was right.
When I become a friar, I'll ask them to let me take your name, Christopher, because it means he who bears Christ.
Once I did. Once. But now, you're a good boy, a fine lad. I wish I could captain the ship that takes you to the islands. But here, I've something for you to take with you.
A little cross. Green cross.
It was bright enough the day I fastened it to the mainmast of the Santa Maria. The crusade was all I thought of then. What tarnishes the fine gold of our dreams for God?
Look, I rubbed the cross on my sleeve. It's getting bright again.
Keep it that way, boy, and keep your dreams as bright. Will you do me a favor?
Anything, sir.
What is the hour?
The bell of the Santo Domingo rang 6 just before I came.
Let's see, that's ebb tide. Now, will you go for me to the monastery of the friars in the street of the booksellers? Ask for Padre Jose.
Yes, sir. And tell him I bear a message from the Admiral of the Ocean Seas.
No, boy, no. Tell him that Christopher Columbus, navigator, is setting out on his last voyage. He wants to make his peace with God. The tide is running out.
This program entitled The Last Voyage has been brought to you by the Art of St. Francis. For your free copy of this story and of our booklet on the life of St. Francis, the man who loved everybody, write to the Art of St. Francis in care of the station to which you are listening.
This episode was written for radio by J.T. Vaughn. The cast included Peggy Weber, Howard Culver, and Patrick McGeehan. Music was by Bob Mitchell. The Last Voyage was produced and directed by Father Hugh Noonan. This program has been brought to you by the Third Order of St. Francis, whose members with St. Francis pray, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Amen.